Hey guys, you know I love Dollar Shave Club. I've been using their razors for quite a while now, and the shave is fantastic. What you probably don't know is that they've got a bunch of other amazing products out as well. For instance, they've got a new skin repair serum that's got a ton of hyaluronic acid in it, which is something that you really, really want to have healthy collagen in your skin. Once you're in the club, you'll see that they've got a bunch of good stuff for you, and it's all affordable. Right now is your chance to see for yourself why so many of us love Dollar Shave Club. If you're not a member yet and you've never joined, now's the time. You'll get your first month of razors for free. Just pay shipping. After that, it's only a few bucks. Join today. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/bulletproof. That's dollarshaveclub.com/bulletproof.
Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Today's cool fact of the day is that people's emotions around eating are pretty darn complex, especially in social situations, which amplifies the emotions there. And that makes sense because there's only three things that your body really has to do to make sure the species survives. Eat everything, have sex with as many things as possible to make sure the species reproduces, and run away or kill things that are dangerous. Like, pretty much that's the operating system for being a human. So when you combine people who might be dangerous in social situations with food, you can imagine all the weird stuff that happens. So in the journal Appetite in 2012, they took three groups of friends and they wanted to see what your friends did to your eating habits. And two out of these three friends were secretly coached to not eat the kryptonite foods while they're in the company of a third friend. And the result is that the third person limited the unhealthy foods they ate while they were with their friends, and they kept doing it on their own, even though they didn't know that the friends had been coached to do that. So that old statement about you are what you eat, well, you're also what your friends eat, which is kind of creepy when you think about it. So that means you'd want to surround yourself with some people who eat really well, and might I humbly suggest, surround yourself with some Bulletproof friends, because we're kind of cool, you know? Before we get into today's show, if you haven't tried Bulletproof Brain Octane Oil, you've probably heard me talk about it being my go-to source to get better mental and physical performance, but you probably haven't heard all the reasons why. It has 10 times more activity from the specific single medium-chain triglyceride per tablespoon as you can get from coconut oil, and it produces about 4 times the amount of ketones as coconut oil and much more than plain MCT oil. So it's not MCT oil. It's a subfraction of MCT with more biological activity. And besides putting it in my coffee, I actually use it in cooking, I use it in baking, and every single meal, every day, I put a little bit of this in there because I never have to think about food. We mentioned those three things that your body does, eat everything. Well, you don't want to eat everything if your body's like, I have all the food I need, and Brain Octane sends that signal to my body. It's pretty amazing what happens. I had sushi for lunch, I poured it on my sushi. I'm not hungry, I'm not going to be hungry for a while. And I also posted a video on the blog about the steak bowl, which has Brain Octane on top. So it's my salad dressing, it's everywhere. And when I dribble some, I just put it on my skin, and I swear, like, it's my favorite oil ever. You can find Brain Octane Oil on Bulletproof.com. If you have not tried it in your Bulletproof coffee, if you're doing coconut oil, it's actually not biologically the same thing, and there are tens of thousands of people who've switched to Brain Octane Oil because, oh my God, it feels better, it works better, and it takes up to 18 pounds of coconut oil to make 1 pound of Brain Octane, and Brain Octane is the only thing like it because it's made entirely from coconuts. There is no palm oil, there is no orangutan juice, and none of the environmental devastation that's caused by regular MCT oil. So avoid MCT oil and use Brain Octane, and you'll feel the difference. You'll help the planet, and you're much less likely to fill your pants. So that's why no MCT, Brain Octane. Today's guest is a longtime friend and Bulletproof ambassador. In fact, he's the first Bulletproof ambassador. He's a model, a certified Bulletproof ambassador and health coach, and his name is Crosby Taylor. Crosby, welcome to the show.
What's up, Dave? How are you? It's great to be here.
I'm doing great. I'm happy you could come on, and it's good to connect with you again. You guys may have heard of Crosby. He's been at all the Bulletproof conferences, and he's a sugar-free dessert chef, and he owns Eat Dessert, Burn Fat, and makes these cookies that have been eaten by amazing celebrities and musicians and sort of they're all the rage in LA. And I've certainly eaten some, and you're like, am I really eating a cookie that's good for me? And you are. So Crosby's, he's got a big Snapchat following where he snaps all the crazy stuff he makes. What are you, Crosby Taylor on Snapchat?
Crosby Taylor, yeah. T-A-I-L-O-R. Like okay. You see it on my website and everything. Yeah, Crosby Taylor. It's the same on Instagram, Crosby Taylor. So
cool.
Yeah.
Man, I just was, I followed some other guy, Crosby T-A-Y. So if you're Crosby Taylor listening, I totally typed it wrong when I was doing that. So I'm Dave Asprey on Snapchat. So a lot of people don't know that I also snap. So now we put both of our Snapchats on Bulletproof Radio. So follow us both.
Crosby's all over it.
And we were just talking, Crosby's actually a professional hand model too, because most of his Snapchats are like him mixing crazy ingredients to make really good desserts. So he's cool. All right, let's talk about your cookies, man. I think that you have a cool story. And like, how did you get into making desserts?
Oh, man, desserts. You know, it was one of those things where I've been on a health journey for a long time. I started with like background in Chinese medicine, and it was all from like running myself into the ground in the modeling business. I was out in New York, I was in London, and I was totally underweight. And it was one of those things where when I got back to LA, where people are actually a little bit more conscious about their health, not just their vanity, I started to seek out some things. And that led me to Dragon Herbs and Ron Teagarden, working with him, and then over to Erewhon, where I was making certain things and working at the tonic bar. And I was kind of on this journey and had some issues with my stomach along the ride. And it was all from kind of a background of eating like crappy food that we all grew up on, you know? And mm-hmm. finally, when I got to a point where I started to shed some of that and detox in different ways, I became sensitive to where my stomach started to feel everything. It wasn't just being bombarded by a bunch of toxins all the time. And so now I had an actual sensitive stomach that when I put something bad in it, I felt it. Like right. totally felt it. Like all of us that are kind of more on this bulletproof path or are in these like health conscious type diets. So I ended up getting like a really bad stomach infection from an H. pylori, an overgrowth of H. pylori. And it put me on this road where I had to get rid of pretty much everything that would feed it. And that was sugar, 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 any type of sugar, even fructose. I cut it all out of my diet while I rehabbed my stomach because I had to go on some antibiotics for it. It was that bad. And it got me to a place where, you know, I had to rehabilitate my gut in a lot of different ways and keep things away from it. But I still had such a sweet tooth. And so I was like, how am I going to crave this? You know, I used to eat all these things that my mom made, from banana bread to chocolate chip cookies to, you know, going ham on ice cream at night. And I had all of these same kind of cravings. I was background in college football where you could eat whatever you wanted. And you just train. And now at this point with this sensitive stomach and this issue, I had to come up with some alternatives. And it led me into, you know, when I was working at Erewhon, crafting my own kind of desserts from ice creams out of the Vitamix to chocolates and puddings and just little stirs where I wanted to have something. And I was using all these different sugar sweetener alternatives, superfoods. And I think that's right around the time that I really got interested in Bulletproof, and I remember emailing you a long time ago. What is this, like 4 years ago, maybe?
This was in the very early days, yeah. You're this crazy guy. You're like, Dave, I work at this grocery store, and like you've probably never heard of him. It's Nowhere spelled backwards, and they were the first grocer to carry Erewhon, the first grocer to carry Bulletproof, and it was because you pulled some strings to get us introduced, and they're still a top partner today.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that was kind of a cool beginning. I was just really into the whole idea behind eating good fats, and because I was kind of doing it, but I was doing it with like the monounsaturated fats. I was doing it with like avocado, doing it with olive oil. I was doing coconut oil here and there, but I wasn't really into like the ghee or the butter yet until you kind of introduced some of these things. And when I got a bunch of product and started using it, I actually didn't even drink coffee then.
And wow.
So nothing, like none of those things were in my repertoire.
I noticed you look a lot stronger and more vibrant now, and the coffee explains it all. I mean, totally.
It's all the coffee. I drink a Bulletproof every morning. And people are like, what do you do every day? Like, you're just glowing. And I'm like, I just drink coffee. No, I'm just kidding. But part of it, for sure. Yeah, so I haven't stopped. I mean, there may be a couple different times when I laid off certain things and let my body readjust. But
yeah,
ever since, I've really just been hooked on that whole idea of good fats, keeping my sugar and carbohydrates down, and moderate levels of protein. And my body composition changed. My, you know, my brain chemistry changed.
What happened to your brain? Like what did you experience in your brain? Because this is the whole point. Honestly, I don't care about having six pack. I'm married. I already have two kids. Like, what do I need a six pack for? Right. But it's all about willpower and energy for me.
Yeah.
What happened in your brain when you switched to more of the saturated and less of the monounsaturated? So just like walk me through the subjective feel of it.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing that I noticed was I just became quicker. Like, I went from eating those, I feel like those, some of those, a lot of those fats are really slow. They digest slower. Mm-hmm. And when I kicked myself into a place where I was using a lot of the MCT in the beginning, when you had the XCT and you introduced the brain octane, once I got onto the brain octane, it almost felt like when I had these things and didn't have any carbohydrates, I felt like I had sugar.
Right, right.
It like snapped me into this because I hadn't had those nutrients before. They were brand new to my body and to my brain. And so when I got those things, I was like, wow, this is different. And I started to introduce a lot of my friends to it, and they were in that same kind of place where they were trying to kick, you know, everybody was into this, like, I mean, I remember training, and it was, you know, you trained and then you ate carbs and proteins, whatever it was, rice, sweet potato, breads, grains, you know, and that was how I played college football. And once I got out of that and I had to get my body composition into a certain place, I started to be like, okay, I got to cut this. But I cut all these things out of my diet, and I was walking around New York City like a zombie, and I had barely any body fat on me. I looked great in a picture, but I felt like shit. So it got to a place where when I came back to Los Angeles and I started to discover these things about, you know, the saturated fats and the MCTs and CLAs and all these things that I wasn't getting before, it put me back into a place where, like, whoa, I have energy again. Whoa, I can move and actually have a conversation with somebody instead of be like, huh? And that's how I felt before. I cut out all the things that actually made my brain go because I wanted to look a certain way. And it's just like the industry can just really screw you up. So when I got back into this place where I was using a lot of your products, it saved me. It definitely saved me in a lot of ways.
It's funny because like the look that's popular right now for modeling, and both for women and men, like that super lean shredded look, it looks like badass. but man, like it is not the look that makes you live the longest or makes you have energy. It's actually the starving animal look.
Right.
Right. And I don't know how to get, I've never been that lean, but when I get, you know, much below 18%, my brain function isn't where it can be. Mm. And the stuff I look at for longevity, like I want to be around 18 to 20%. And right now I'm 20.1% on my last DEXA scan. Like I'm totally happy there.
Yeah.
Do you have a target body fat for yourself that you want to, I mean, you work more as the model than I do. You probably need to be lower than that, but like how low can you go and still feel good?
That's so funny you said that, because I just did there's a new cryo place on Sunset called Next Health that I invited me over to like go through the rounds and get some testing done. And so me and a friend went over there and we got some of our testing done, and I was like, huh, when I got my test back, because I feel because I'm getting so many of those fats throughout the day, my body fat's it's very low, but I don't feel like I'm starving. And I'm not at the point where I have to snack or I'll have my Bulletproof. Seriously, Dave, I'm up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning most days.
Wow.
I'm having my Bulletproof around 5:30, 6 at the latest. I'm not hitting the gym until 9 and I still haven't eaten. I'll make like a, I'll do the Bulletproof. I do a pretty good amount of butter in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
A tablespoon of the brain octane. I do a couple tablespoons of collagen to give me some protein in the morning.
Right.
And then if I'm working with Chinese herbs at the time, I'll throw a couple of those in there. And then before I go to the gym around 9, I create this cocktail, this like pre-workout cocktail that's got like chlorophyll and BCAAs and mm-hmm. just stuff to like kind of stabilize and get me through a workout. Carnitine, nothing that's like calorie dense though. There's barely still no calories. And I'll last till even after that workout, I'll have a post-workout drink that's just got some protein in it before I go eat some food, maybe some BCAAs, protein, and some glutamine. And then I'll go eat a meal and it's 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then I won't eat dinner until 6, 7.
And you feel good all the time.
And I feel good all the time. And I got this testing back and I was like, I mean, I'm listening to you going 18. And I'm like, oh, geez. Like, I feel – but it's crazy.
Where are you?
On here – I'm going to show you the sheet in a second. But on here it says what to gain or to – what to gain in body fat mass or in lean body mass, muscle. And it tells me that I don't have to zero and zero. It's a zero and zero, but my body fat mass is 10 pounds of my 190-pound frame, which
no
is
no way
5%, 5.3% body fat. And it's only like, I don't.
Is that a DEXA scan or something else, like calipers?
No, I stood on this thing and then I held these.
Oh, it's an impedance. Okay, there's a high variance there. Like I did a very high end clinical grade impedance that said I was 15% body fat, and my DEXA scan said I was 20.1%. And the DEXA is
makes me feel a little bit better. So
I suspect
I'm probably
you're
probably more like 8 to 10.
7 or 8 is more like, because if you're at 5, I don't think you'd probably be feeling good. Most people can't hang out at that range and feel good unless you're like there's some genetic types where you're just always super super lean, but. That's unusual.
No, I've never been this lean. I've never been this lean before and carried this much muscle mass. So it's not something that's genetic because it doesn't run in the family. But like, I know that my diet's been really dialed in lately, and it's not that I do it on purpose. It's just that I'm very intuitive and in tune with what makes me feel good.
So are you juicing?
I'll have the green juice here and there.
I said that to be inflammatory. not because green juices are that, but yeah, so I'm assuming you do some green juices, but not that many because like juicing wouldn't give you the body composition you have now. It's not possible.
No, yeah. I'm definitely like a lot of lamb, a lot of like red meats.
Nice.
Lamb, a lot of butter.
And how old are you?
Cruciferous vegetables, a lot of cruciferous vegetables. I'm 31.
31, okay, cool. So you're in your 30s. And the other definition of juicing, obviously, is, you know, using steroids. And you're probably... That's why it was funny.
That's so funny because... Isn't that good that I didn't go there?
Well, it was awesome because you didn't think of it because I'm like, totally cool. You're all about the green juice. I was hoping you would do that. But the other way you can get more of the body mass is with steroids. And you're too young unless you had a problem. Like I was on testosterone when I was 27 because I had huge amounts of estrogen and almost no testosterone. And so, like, I was on medically appropriate bioidentical. And I've been really open about that. And I'm on a small dose of bioidentical testosterone now, but I'm 43. And my production, sometimes I can get it up naturally around 700, but it doesn't tend to stay there no matter what I do. So it then drops to, like, 500. I'm like, no, I'm fine to supplement it. But you don't need to because, look at you. Like, you're like, chiseled right now. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely diet. It's the way that I work out. I definitely have to say my desserts are a big part of it because
of course.
Because I'm not eating things that would throw, you know, body fat on me late at night. It's actually, you know, if a lot of my stuff has a lot of brain octane oil in it in general. Yeah. Like I make a chocolate sauce with brain octane, so I'll throw that on top of
it. Oh, I love that. It's one of my favorite things. It's like chocolate powder and brain octane. And what do you use for carbs in yours?
Well, I'm putting, besides the chocolate, the cacao powder that's got
okay,
some,
cool.
But yeah, I have it on some of my websites, so it's not like a secret recipe, but I'll throw cacao powder with, cacao butter, some Lakanta, which is a sweetener I use, a blend of monk fruit and erythritol, cacao butter, brain octane, a pinch of pink salt, and I'll stir that all up in a like coffee cup and I'll throw it in the freezer if I want it to just be chocolate, or I'll keep it stirred and throw that on top of an ice cream and it hardens, so you have like this hard shell chocolate sauce.
I don't think we've ever talked about that. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love that. I put that on the get some ice cream and you're like it's really good.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then on top of all that, just to kind of like segue into what you were talking about with the testosterone, I do it, I kind of have like a way of doing it naturally to where I'm using, I supplement with like calcium deglucarate and DIM to keep my estrogen levels balanced. And then I'm using Dragon Herbs Tribulus, which I really, really love.
Tribulus is good, yeah.
Yeah, cycling that along with here and there, I'll use like Chrysin or just passion flower extract. And then I have like all my Jing herbs from Hosha Wood or Romania 6 and these kind of things, along with like good liver supplements and the glutathione. And I kind of keep a great balance of, you know, detoxifying the bad estrogens and creating like a discrepancy between my estrogen and testosterone all the time to where I feel great. My immune system's great. My stamina and strength. And I mean, my lifts go up every week and I'm lifting for power. Like I don't do a lot of like heavy rep stuff. I just, because I'm on such a clean diet, I don't need to go to the gym and like run like crazy or over, you know, exert myself and create inflammation. I'm just in there to create more muscle mass.
That's cool. So you recover really quickly. And there's some science that hasn't been done as far as I understand. We've looked at whether people can preserve muscle mass and grow muscle mass in ketosis, and that is absolutely shown to be possible and doable. Like I think that study is very reliable, a recent one that came out. But what we know is that when you lift heavy, you create short-term inflammation. Like the mitochondria make a lot of reactive oxidative species, and then you get like some muscle tearing, and then you get healing and recovery. The problem is that ketosis is anti-inflammatory. So maybe you might want to be out of ketosis when you lift, except the studies show that you can grow muscle mass. So there's something happening, I think, because you have more energy because you're in ketosis, more electrons in the cells. So that's probably what's happening there, because what you're doing, a lot of traditional exercise people say, well, that's not possible. And you're like, well, no, I'm not eating carbs and I'm gaining muscle.
Yeah.
Have you tried adding carbs back in? Because sometimes people get like 10 pounds of muscle when they put carbs back in. Do you ever do that?
Oh man, if I do a couple of carb loads, if I do more than like one day of carb loading a week, I can increase 5 pounds. Like
that. Yeah.
Like if I throw more sweet potatoes in my diet, or because I've never been like a really white rice guy, but the sweet potatoes kind of my go-to. If I do that, or if I'm eating like more carrots is another like some of the root vegetables is really what I'll do. If I'm doing more of that, I can pack on like pretty quick. But I just I feel better here. And I feel like sometimes when people are in complete ketosis all the time, they can get that kind of like no glycogen look.
Yeah.
And it's like there's not like a pump happening ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still managing to keep a pump throughout my workouts. And I think it's also because I'm not going crazy and doing like heavy lifts every day, obviously.
That'll break you. Yeah.
That'll break you.
And are you in ketosis all the time? You said once a week you're going out.
No, not all the time.
Okay.
Not all the time. I would say it's like, I don't know, 3-4 days a week.
And you're doing something else that's really cool that I haven't talked about so much. I don't know if you're doing it on purpose, but glutamine, which is an amino acid that can give you like a lot of brain energy. I used to use it like when people are really tired or when I was really tired, like in business school, I would use glutamine like when I was trying to study. This is when I first started taking modafinil and I didn't have my diet all the way dialed in. I would do this and it would help, and it helps with gut healing, but glutamine takes you out of ketosis very reliably. So it's anti-ketogenic. But it's interesting, you're in ketosis, you take glutamine and you're doing the exercise, but you're not eating sugar. So you go out of ketosis, I think it just probably makes you better at going back into ketosis because what else is your body going to do? I don't even know, but...
Why does it take you... I never knew that it took you out of ketosis. Why is that?
It's one of the studies out there. I know. I read all the weird studies. Yeah, it's... I don't know the mechanism, actually. I'm just searching my little mental database there. Couldn't tell you why, but I can tell you that in studies, like you give someone a few grams of glutamine, their ketone levels drop very dramatically.
Really?
It's probably because there's two things going on there. This is assuming nutritional ketosis. When you're using brain octane, it's not nutritional ketosis. It's exogenous ketones from outside the body. This is oil that naturally goes to ketones. I don't think it's going to stop that. But your mitochondria, They're energy hungry, and they decide whether the cell is going to be in ketosis or not based on available fuels.
Got it.
They can take amino acids, including glutamine, and convert them into energy. I think glutamine is a better substrate for making ATP than forcing the body to go into nutritional ketosis.
Okay.
But if you have glutamine present and you're using brain octane, you're getting exogenous ketones, like you would get from a ketone salt or something, but without all the acetone and all the other things that come in the keto salts. So that's my guess. But you're getting cool results because you're extremely lean and you're muscular and you can put on muscle mass without even thinking about it. So it's kind of cool. Like you got something going on.
So something's happening. I'll use about 5 to 8 grams post-workout and the same before bed. So I wonder how that's changing the chemistry throughout the day, or if I slip back into it before dinner, or I don't know, but
And if you're using brain octane throughout the day, like I do, there's always a background level of ketones present more than would naturally be there. And that changes everything biologically. Like it's cool. There are some concerns that glutamine is, over time, higher doses of glutamine are associated with increased risk of cancer.
Hmm.
So I don't know that you want to do it every day. I'd probably cycle it. Do your glutamine sometimes.
Because the glutamate increases the glutamate levels?
I don't think it's because of glutamate. I don't know the mechanism of action there. I don't believe glutamine usually increases glutamate. There's one researcher who swears up and down, but I see autistic kids take L-glutamine, and when I tended that way. I used to have the Asperger's feature set, and glutamine was a healing thing for me, not a damaging thing. So I just don't see the MSG reaction ever in human beings from glutamine that they get from taking, you know, glutamic acid or glutamic acid with sodium, monosodium glutamate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's the whole idea behind the fact that glutamine makes you extremely anabolic. You know, there's a lot.
I think it's
anabolism. It's the anabolism, right?
I think you should keep doing it. But if you took a couple of days a week off and just measured what changed, maybe you'll find something more. But I mean, you're biohacking and you're kicking some ass, and you get to eat dessert all the time, which is it's something people don't understand. Like the creamy goodness of butter. And the whole paleo crowd was like, oh, cavemen didn't have sugar alcohols. I'm like, yeah, I know, but cavemen didn't know about cheesecake, or they would have like killed each other over it.
Of course.
So like you can use the appropriate sweeteners that are not artificial sweeteners, because they'll screw you up, and the low carb, high fat, you know, I eat NutraSweet all the time because it has no sugar, therefore it's good for me. That doesn't work. And you'll lose half of your 200 pounds of fat, or in my case, I lost 50 pounds that way, and the other half will never leave you and you'll be tired all the time. So that doesn't work. And you can go the zero sugar, zero sweet kind of paleo template, and that just sucks, because let's face it, cookies are good. Right?
So good.
And then you
everybody
can go
loves to eat cookies and ice cream and chocolate.
Yeah.
It's just part of us now.
And it's a social thing, and it's just delicious, right? And then you can go down the bulletproof path where you're like, you know what? Like, cavemen didn't have mass spectrometers and fermentation labs and all this stuff, but we do, so let's use it, and let's use sugar alcohols intelligently, and let's use stevia and things like that. And all of a sudden, the palate for creating a dessert or a recipe, it's a different perspective, a different philosophy, and you get it, and like you do these crazy things. Like tell me, like, what do you put in your favorite cookie? Like, what are the set of ingredients you work with there?
So I just put a cookie out on my website. The website is tailoredlife.com, by the way, and I just put a cookie out, a ginger snap cookie. It's amazing, and it's really cool because I'm using tiger nut flour in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using a resistant starch along with the Lakanto, which I think I've said before, the monk fruit and erythritol blend. That's in every dessert. I'm using that as like my main sweetener. I really like that. I think I like it a lot more than xylitol, because I have a sensitive stomach, and I feel like that one just has been better for me than that. And then I'm using a lot of the time in the desserts, especially my staple like original cookie that I've been making. I use the collagen, Bulletproof collagen, so it's got protein in it, but a great already, what is it, 7 times pre-digested?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's great for heat sensitive protein. And then I'm just throwing all the great fats. So everything from pastured eggs to the MCTs and the new grass-fed ghee that you got, Dave. I've been using a lot of that. It's delicious.
It's kind of a caramely flavor, right?
It's got that nice caramel touch. It's perfect for baking. I taste it. You guys just sent me a bunch of it, And I'd been using a different ghee that was really good, and I tasted it. And I was like, oh, this is it. It's over.
And we're doing it over an open flame, like traditional Ayurvedic techniques, because this stuff matters. And
yeah,
I'm really excited about that product. Getting 100% grass-fed butter to make it instead of 90% grass-fed butter, it was another achievement, because there's a shortage. Like, Bulletproof Coffee made a shortage globally of grass-fed butter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm grabbing a thing of Kerrygold, I don't even know how many times a week. So yeah, there's a lot of those people out there too.
Yeah, it's what I live in a country. I'm in Canada, and when I'm up here, there's a 300% tariff on butter. So all you can get is Canadian butter, which is pretty much always grain and corn-fed, and it doesn't taste good. So people import like their personal stash of Kerrygold, and like there's like a national outcry over the shortage of grass-fed butter here. It's kind of funny.
It just tastes so much better. But yeah, just in terms of getting back to cookies, there's a ginger snap recipe on there, and then I'll throw anywhere from a probiotic type cream cheese frosting on top, mm-hmm. Which is a dairy source. To the people that have dairy sensitivity, I'm making like just like a pure full fat coconut milk, kind of like icing. And everything's, I mean, that one actually has your vanilla bean in it too. So just, I'm incorporating a lot of the awesome Bulletproof products.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. And it makes a difference. I mean, I've used a lot of other different sources of cacaos and vanilla beans, and I notice a difference. I notice a difference in flavor and the way that I feel. And it makes a huge difference when you're sourcing stuff that, you know, we're talking about with toxic load and all that.
Well, people don't often know, because I probably don't talk about it enough, but the other products like the Bulletproof vanilla beans, it's a 20-day process that breaks down mold toxins in the vanilla, because it's a dried bean in a tropical environment. Like, you can see mold growing on vanilla pods if you look at them. And then the same thing with the chocolate. It's lab tested to be really low, and it's processed in a facility away from other chocolate. And like, no, you can't see that. But for me, I feel it, and the mechanism of action there is that the toxin that forms in coffee and chocolate and vanilla, one of them anyway, it inhibits mitochondrial function. And so you're used to like feeling good. You've given all these extra electrons from the brain octane and the high fat into your brain, where you have the most mitochondrial density, and you're like, all right, I'm cruising. And then you take something that like slows the engine down, and then you feel it first in your brain. And you're like, and then you want sugar, It affects me so profoundly. Like, I made this stuff because I got tired of feeling crappy all the time.
Yeah, it's a bad snowball effect. You want that good snowball, not that bad one.
Totally. All right, now I got another question for you. Most of your clients are women, right? So number one, every guy listening is like, how do you do that? No, I'm just kidding. But what do you find that's different with women and men when they're on high fat diets like this? I mean, is it that they want cookies even more than men? Just kidding. But like there are very meaningful high fat differences between men and women. And because you're a fitness trainer, what do you see? Like, what changes do you make for women?
Well, it's funny, but that's kind of like the first thing, especially if they've heard about me from a friend. You know, the first thing everybody checks is the Instagram. So they go to the Instagram and they're like, what the hell? This guy makes all these desserts? I thought he was a nutritionist. And so it's funny because that like hooks them in. They're like, whoa, I think I can have all these things that I already have that I feel like crap on in a good way. So they kind of come into it going, oh, well, I'll be able to get cookies and make my own recipes and be able to still eat sweets. And a lot of them are like, can I just live on a cookie diet? And I'm like, no, that's not going to work. But you can have them, you know, you can have your desserts. I'm going to show you how to do this.
So you switch them from a deprivation mindset to you can have things that satisfy you, but you have to do it right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that is huge for women because it's such a mental game too. Like I work with a lot of girls in the industry that are either models or actresses, and they're constantly, you know, being their vessel is their work. So they're constantly looking in the mirror going, oh, my face is fat, or like, oh, I'm gaining weight here, or my agent said I should cut back on this, or, you know, they get these little things throughout the day that are really affecting their mental state and their cortisol levels. And so the big thing, I think, for a lot of them is when they are told they're allowed to have some of these foods that are decadent, that still taste really good, and they don't have to have, they don't have to feel guilty or go into this place of like feeling stressed out. It's a double win, because now they're like, they're chilling, they're just feeling good, they're eating something delicious, and they're getting the nutritional benefits from it, as opposed to, I know I shouldn't eat this chocolate bar, but I'm going to because I'm craving it, and then they like feel like crap afterwards, and then they eat more of it, and it's just a never-ending spiral of, and the next day they wake up with inflamed hands, and you know they're about to go to a job, and their face is all puffy, as opposed to what I'm saying I could do for them, and all of a sudden once they have that trust, and really in themselves, but they trust the whole idea, they trust the plan, and they trust the idea that they can eat high fat or eat more fat. A lot of them aren't going to go right into really high fats because they're still super scared, but they integrate and they kind of cut back on a lot of their high sugar things, because a lot of girls come to me and they're like, I'm vegan or fruitarian.
Wow. How can you not be puffy if you're a fruitarian?
Some of them is just like they've not been doing it for very long and they just have genetics. And wow. So their body just oxidizes the, you know, they just uses the sugars right away. But for a lot of them, they eventually get into a place where they don't really see it on the outside. They don't see that they've gained too much weight or that they look too bad. They might be 20 years old, you know, but they definitely notice it in their hormones. A lot of them are like, I just saw a Chinese medical doctor and she said I have the hormones of a 45-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And that's where they freak out and they're like, I don't get my period. I don't this or I don't that. And I just recently worked with a girl that was like, was barely getting her period, could barely see at times.
Whoa.
And 20 years, like 19, 20 years old. And hormones were screwed up, just came from like all this different testing. It was between some of these high electrolyte and mineral foods and the fats and cutting some of the sugars back. She like the twitch that was in her eye was gone within a week. She could see within 2 weeks, and she was referring a friend within the third, you know, the two, wow. 2.5 weeks. So it's amazing. You know, how important a lot of these, you know, we forget, especially living in this world where we're, you know, it's a different industry and we forget how important it is to get some of these nutrients, and you finally get them and you're like, oh wait, I'm just a human here surviving.
It's funny you mentioned vision there, like the three parts of the brain, or three parts of the body that have the highest density of mitochondria per cell. It's the eyes, it's the brain, and the heart. Like those are the things that suck the most energy, wow. Which is why if you're eating one of those diets or you're eating a lot of toxins, like the raw vegan diet actually has a lot of natural plant-based toxins that inhibit your mitochondrial function. It's there to keep animals from eating the vegetables so the vegetables can reproduce. Like it's Mother Nature's way of fighting back. Like you put thorns or spikes or compounds that are bad for animals so that way all of you doesn't get eaten. And cooking deactivates some of those, right? When I was a raw vegan, I was running into some of that. But where you'll manifest these things, even if you're young, you have so much resilience. You can be a raw vegan when you're under 25. You'll pay for it when you're 35. But you can do it, and you probably won't feel it at first. But you're going to light sensitivity, eye twitches, headaches, okay, brain, eyes, and just low energy. That's cardiovascular, right? Yeah. And in the new book I've got coming out, roughly 48% of people under 40 have mitochondrial dysfunction. Wow. So, and diet is what does it. And the stuff you're on, Crosby, the stuff that you're eating, stuff that I'm eating, it actively encourages mitochondrial growth. It encourages more energy, 147 electrons versus 36 electrons per molecule for brain octane versus sugar. And you're like, yeah, no wonder you feel different. Like, no wonder she recovered in 3 weeks. Like, it's biology, and it's so cool.
It was quick. It was quick. And she had all these amazing, like, she felt so good, and she was getting strong and stuff. And she was almost mad that she was getting, that some of these things were happening, because she wanted to be frail. She wanted to be, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
I'm like, you're going to have to pick one. You're going to have to pick the, like, dying look or the healthy look, because, you know, this is what this industry is doing. And a lot of them come out of it and are feeling amazing, and they create a balance and they get to a point where they become more intuitive themselves and they know kind of like what things to eat, but also how to still look that certain way they need to look. they navigate better. I think that that's like the biggest thing that I try to get a lot of these kind of clients into, a place of being able to navigate for themselves and tailor their own situation. And that's kind of all about my, you know, website and what I try to do for clients is to empower them, get them into a place where they get the right information. They can have their days where they're going to go crazy on their carbs and stuff because they're human, but they also know that there's going to be consequences and that they have to get back into places where they feel better with certain foods. And they do it, and they start to do it, and they see me months later, and they're like, so, you know, so thankful, thank you for helping me, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, I'm so grateful of that. That's the big part of the job that I love. So
it's kind of shocking when someone walks up and you haven't talked to them in a while and they're like, my life is different now. And you're doing people a service. If you work with someone who's 19 or 20, the change in trajectory is so rapid and it lasts for life, right?
Yeah.
You talk to someone who's 50, you can still make the change and they'll feel different in 2 days, right? Because they're probably in a weaker state. But to dig out of the hole that you're in later in life is a lot more work than to just avoiding the hole. And it starts before birth and it continues from there on up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really intense, but it's so cool. It's so, like you said, it's so cool to see the change.
It's cool stuff, man. And so I'm happy you're doing it. And I think there's a shift happening too, and it's driven in part by social media, where the really gaunt, starved look, I like to think it's becoming less popular versus like the vibrant look.
Yeah.
And you can do so much with makeup or whatever, but the super skinny arms and legs look, maybe fashion designers still are into that stuff, but it also could be biased. I look at certain magazines, but I'm just seeing like healthier looking people on magazines now instead of thinner looking people. Do you feel the same change happening?
Yeah. The big thing is in the commercial world, when it comes to like the editorial world and the commercial world and modeling, the commercial world wants healthy look. They want that healthy look. They want that vibrant, healthy look. That's going to sell. That's going to make money. But it's still in the fashion world, because you're basically a coat hanger when you walk down the runway. It just, the designers just want thinner girls and guys that the clothes hang on differently. You know, if you got these like robust, like thick muscle men walking down the runway and these like tiny little, you know, fit cuts, it's going to look funny. So that's really the only thing that fashion wise, it's going to be hard to shake that. But when you get into some of these big, you know, all the fragrance campaigns now, all the big commercials, all the big clothing lines from Banana Republic to Gap to Guess, all these companies are using, like you said, these vibrant, healthy, beautiful humans. And it's really, really cool to see, because like you said, the gaunt look is so out. To me, it's super out, and it's not, I don't think it makes money anymore either. People want to see somebody that's vibrant. They all want to look like that, and they buy the clothes. It's different.
One of the hopes I have is a friend of mine, Michelle Promolenko, who was chief editor of Yahoo Health.
I did an interview with her at the last conference.
Exactly. She's such a cool person, but she gets all this, and she just went back. She's now chief editor at Cosmo in 17. And so she's in a position to totally like help. Just, it doesn't require big change. It's just a little tweak so that we can make that just the more normal thing. And I hate to say it, but like as guys, we kind of like our women to look healthy, right? And women sometimes want to look thinner than guys want them to look.
Yeah. It's a big problem.
and so like, I'm hoping Michelle will do good there, because that's just how she is. Like I had a chance to hang out with her, and she's just got a good spirit there and wants to help. So I think she's in a great position to help drive that change.
Oh yeah. That's so cool. And that's great. I mean, 17, people reading that are going to start young and start to figure out some of these like healthier ideas, rather than flipping open a magazine and seeing somebody that looks like they're starving themselves. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it's weird, because I've been attracting a lot of that since my website's been up. Everyone from like all the kind of like female publications are hitting me up, from birdie.com to their My Domain to Galore magazine and Well and Good. These are all bigger magazines that are heavily populated with, you know, the consumer being women. And I'll throw like a recipe for like a beauty smoothie, but this beauty smoothie has got, you know, nutrient dense food in it. It's got collagen protein and bone broth protein and and good fats from, you know, brain octane oil and tiger nuts and stuff like that. So, but it's still giving them the effect that they want.
But yeah.
More calories, more nutrients, more food for the brain, and then they're getting the body composition they want. It's a win-win for sure.
Beautiful. Well, Crosby, we're running up on running out of time, and I want to ask a bulletproof question of you, the one that I always ask. So if someone comes to you tomorrow, and they say, look, Crosby, I'm going to kick ass at everything I do, not just modeling or not just looking good, but at everything in life. What are the three most important recommendations you have for me? What would you tell them?
Wow. Okay. Three most important recommendations.
Just to kick more ass at everything.
Number one, make sure you get some like deep, restful sleep. I think sleep is so important. For me, I actually don't need a lot of sleep, but I need that like really, really good like REM sleep. So I try to get to bed early, at least 5 nights out of the week. You know, you can have a couple nights where you have your fun and you socialize, but I'm in bed usually by 9:30, 10, and up at 5. So I'm getting like 7 hours of sleep. But in those like deep, I think the deep REM sleep hours are what, 10 to 2 a.m., something like that. Is there studies like that?
There are. In fact, there's a new a quiz. You should take this. My buddy Michael Bruce, he wrote The Power of When. You go to thepowerofwhenquiz.com, and it's like a 5-minute quiz or something. But it's one of the coolest things I've read all year because he's like, look, 15% of people, they're like you, and they're early risers, and he calls them lions. And your circadian rhythm, like your job in the tribe was to wake up early and take the morning shift to like fight off lions and dinosaurs and crap.
Okay.
Dinosaurs, but, right?
I feel like that.
Yeah, right. And so you're like the morning person, and you're going to have a different REM sleep pattern and a different cortisol surge during the day and everything. And then 55% of people, he calls them bears, like they're normal, like they're circadian. They're like not up at dawn, they're up a little bit after dawn, and then they go to bed at the average bedtime. And 15% of people are like me, he calls us wolves, and we take the night shift. And like I'm perfectly functional till 2 a.m. My bedtime is on average 2:01 a.m. for the past 5 years I've tracked it.
Yeah.
And it varies plus or minus, but that's the average. And I always, like, that's my natural sleepy time. And if you let me all sleep, you know, from 2 till probably 9. And that's for me, I get the most REM sleep that way.
Oh,
and
cool.
And neither one is better than the other. And then the other 15% of people are like dolphins. And he's like, their brain never actually goes to sleep. And he's like, all of those are my patients. So he was like, he's been on Dr. Oz a bunch, but you would enjoy this because
I'm gonna check that out.
When you work with your clients, it's super helpful because like, it's not that going to bed early is good or going to bed late is good. It's like, it has to match your chronotype. So I think Michael's like broken through on a biohacking thing that I didn't know, but I don't feel guilty about being a late owl, whatever.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, cool. That's actually awesome. I'm going to have to, cause I have some clients that are like, I don't get to bed till 4 a.m. So
yeah, four is pretty late. I think his book is either out now or about to come out. It's called The Power of When, but the quiz is already up. And I've seen it's to the point everyone at Bulletproof, all the, my employees, I've asked them to take it and put it on their employee like baseball card. So like, why would you schedule an 8 a.m. meeting with your boss to ask for a raise when your boss is a wolf who wants to stay up late and he's going to be a zombie at 8 a.m.? So like, don't do that, right?
Yeah.
So
number two, eat less sugar.
Okay, there you go.
You know, going kind of segues into my desserts, check out everything that I have going on in terms of tailoredlife.com and eat dessert.
TAILORED life.com.
No, TAILORD.
So oh, okay.
It's my, you know, my last name, Taylor with a D.
With a D. Okay.
Life. So it's tailoring your lifestyle. You know,
cool.
It's kind of my idea behind tailoring your lifestyle. So check out, there's some recipes on there. I'm going to be coming out with some products here soon. I'm working hand in hand with Lakanto. That's they're kind of grooming me into the spokesperson of the company. So I'll be working with them a lot. So that's a sugar substitute. That's the monk fruit and erythritol that I think can be really, really amazing for people that won't kick that sweet tooth. And then on top of that, you know, besides being able to curb by using different sweeteners, you're also going to be able to curb your sweet tooth and be able to have less sugar if you're eating more fat. So eat that good fat, you know, get your ghee in, get your MCTs and your XCTs and your brain octanes. And obviously some of these monounsaturated fats, like I still like to keep some olive oil and things
like
that in my
diet.
And then last but not least, something I've been trying to live by more so lately than I have, but in the last like year, it's really transformed me. And that's just the idea behind letting go more, being less resistant to change. Been listening to a lot of Alan Watts, and you know, he says one of his quotes is, "If you want life, don't cling to it."
You know, I was going to ask you about that. You are way more chill now than I've ever seen you. Like it's an energy shift in you. I was kind of wondering because normally you were a little bit anxious, not in like a negative, nasty, like being critical,
yeah,
but
sure.
you carried a little bit of a bit of an anxiety vibe, and you're super mellow now. So whatever you're doing, you should keep it up. Like it's working.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm just doing a lot of, you know, internal searching and working on myself, and then just also in that of working on myself, not being in my head a lot of the ideas of perfection and having to strive for something and creating myself to be, you know, this certain thing all the time, but more so just letting go to life and the things that I've been manifesting lately and the people that I've been bringing into my life and the people I've been letting go in my life. It's just been, it's been such a transformation for me, and things are just happening. Synchronicity is happening.
You look like you're carrying less weight than you did before. Not physical weight, but just like mental weight. So it's cool.
Yeah, definitely let go of some weight. So it's good.
Well, we'll have to get you into 40 years of Zen maybe one of these days. Let's do it. Neurofeedback thing. Cool,
let's
man.
Let's do it.
Well, thanks so much for being on Bulletproof Radio today. And your website is TAILORDLIFE.com.
TailoredLife.com. Instagram is Crosby Taylor. Snapchat is Crosby Taylor. And yeah, those are kind of my main channels. So find
Instagram,
me on there.
Snapchat, and your website, Tailored.
Tailored Life.
Tailored Life. So I was like, it's not Tailored Fed, it's Tailored Life.
They'll learn how to get Tailored Fed, yeah.
There we go. Cool. Now I get it. All right.
Yeah.
And for everyone listening, if you enjoyed today's podcast, you learned something about cookies, you know where to go to get some cool recipes. And I'd love it if you took 30 seconds to go on iTunes and rate the show. Just give us 5 stars if you think that we've earned it. That really helps other people find the show, and it's just a way of saying thanks. You wouldn't know this, but to create this episode, there's actually 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 cameras involved. There's 2 microphones. We FedExed a camera to Crosby, and we're backing up audio, we're doing audio remastering, we're editing the thing, we're transcribing the thing. And it's actually a big production, and we're doing it so you have really good audio quality if you're driving or listening in your cubicle. And so you have good audio if you're listening on YouTube. You can go to bulletproof.com or bulletproofexec.com/YouTube to get a link to the thing. You can follow us on YouTube to get all these. But the point here is a lot of love goes into this. I did prep for the show. Crosby and I talked. And so we care, and we put a lot of love and energy into this, and it doesn't take long for you to say thanks and just show some gratitude with a rating on iTunes, and it helps other people find the content. That's why I'm asking you to do it. I don't need it for my ego. Crosby doesn't need it for his ego, but help people know this is good. That's the way social works. So I appreciate that you took your time to listen to this episode today. Crosby, thank you for being here today as well. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, Dave. I look forward to being back. I think the next time I come back, it'll be the launch of my cookie mix, my baking mix. We'll have to talk about that next. So
exciting
I'm
times.
Excited. Yep.